Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Pipeline Pioneers, a sales intel show where our focus is to learn from the experts, the practitioners, and the leaders as to how to build the most optimal pipeline for your business. As we know, pipeline is the heartblood of any organization, and we at Sales Intel believe that generating pipeline is a team sport. You can not just make it the responsibility of a BDR team or the marketing team. It truly takes a village to come together to build a pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue. Today, I am excited to have Kyle Smith from The Bridge Group. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. We're looking forward to the show here, Kyle. So Kyle, to kick things off, why don't you tell audience about yourself, about The Bridge Group, and how in your capacity do you help influence the pipeline for The Bridge Group?
Absolutely. So Kyle Smith, managing partner of The Bridge Group. And so what that means, that title managing partner, is basically I have to do a little bit of everything, but specific to our own pipeline creation, I have a hand in marketing or lead gen in terms of the content that we publish to attract potential customers to our site to engage with our content. And then even spend five-ish hours a week being an SDR. And so I'm in a unique position where I'm a sales consultant. We work with a lot of sales development and sales teams. So I like to be able to say that I'm practicing what we preach. So I'll make cold calls. I follow up on inbound leads. I help shape the content. So a little bit of a hand in both marketing and put the SDR hat on here and there to drive pipeline for us.
Oh, that's great. I love it when the leaders come and start the cold call, when the leaders respond to the inbound and generate the pipeline. So this is awesome. Kyle, last year was tough for lots of companies. I'm sure you saw it, you know, across many clients. Companies didn't hit their revenue targets. Pipelines were not there. And because of the macroeconomic headwinds, the pipelines that were there, deals just didn't close in time, right?
Yeah.
And as a result, lots of companies just did not hit their revenue targets. And not to mention that when you're in the middle of a chaos, you make lots of mistakes yourself, right? So when you look back at 2023, is there something that jumps out to say, you know what, I wish I had done things differently? And what is the learning that you would share with the audience here?
For us, I'll speak to us. So for us, The Bridge Group, we were a little slow to react. And so we had, and for us, we're professional services. So we had an amazing and record-setting 2022, mm-hmm. which bleeds over into 2023. So we're still delivering on work that was closed in 2022, well into 2023. And because we had to allocate so many resources to actually delivering on the customers who had already signed and are paying for our services, we were slow to then shift the resources into demand gen or pipeline building. And so then we had this lagging effect where we had to focus so much on the business that we had already won and delivering on it. And the economy shifted. And then we shifted resources. So there was like this massive 6-month chasm of mm-hmm. us being really intentional about developing pipeline paired with macroeconomic headwinds that really was a very hurtful but valuable learning lesson where, you know, you can't ever take the foot off the gas of pipeline creation. So that was one of the more obvious ones that we learned. And then there's dozens of others across our client base. Yeah.
The key is pipeline is king. You know, as business, they say cash flow is king. In revenue organization, pipeline is king. You gotta keep your eye on the pipeline.
Indeed. Yeah. So I think we probably could have made some hiring decisions, paced those a little bit differently so we weren't so overextended on the delivery side and we could actually put an eye on pipeline creation. So some definite learning lessons that we will not make again. So
yeah, that's good. Well, hindsight is 2020 always, right? But look, 24 is here, new year, new initiatives, new experiments. What is the one thing that you're most excited about in 24 as it relates to the pipeline generation or any new experiment that you're excited about?
I just think that people have a more positive outlook. There's some, I like to make data-driven decisions. It's built into the research reports that we do, the consulting engagements that we run. But at the same time, it is hard to ignore just a certain feeling where you're having conversations a year ago and there seems to be a lot of doom and gloom where everyone is pessimistic about the future to come. Everyone says, not only do I not have access to money right now, but there's none coming on the horizon. And all of a sudden, the context of those conversations has started to shift. People are excited about engaging with vendors to think about what they could potentially do with them to continue to, in our instance, scale their sales team for the rest of 2024. So this positive outlook on the part of at least our prospects has been the most exciting for me, because if I have 20 conversations a week, now they seem to have a much more positive sentiment than they did a year ago. So that's what I'm most excited about. Secondary to that, I think the continued interesting applications of AI within the prospecting piece of the sales process in particular are going to be interesting. I like tinkering. So seeing how can we deploy new AI technologies to the prospecting piece of the sales process is going to be one of the things that I pay a lot of attention to this year.
Well, that's great. Have you found anything in AI as it relates to prospecting that looks promising, or most of them are still in the experimental phases?
I got a demo of one last week that I just started using that I find to be extremely interesting. It's not the most unique product. I've seen aspects of it built into some of the, you know, major players in sales engagement, but the ability to rapidly do pre-call planning, essentially go identify information on a company website, look at a LinkedIn profile, and then contextualize that information in a message that is about what you offer as a service or product, and essentially do the message personalization or customization, but still have it be a human driven action, I think is really interesting. And having just the acceleration of that process without the takeover is the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah, I think ultimately we're going to see, at least in the foreseeable future, that AI is going to assist the seller and make them more productive, right? Versus AI doing on behalf of a seller.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't want to be a naysayer because I've been proven wrong 100 times about which technologies are likely to catch on and be successful and which are not. I would agree with you, but I've realized that I have so much bias in my perspective because my world is built around supporting sales professionals. So the idea of sales professionals going away and being replaced by AI, I just have an aversion to the thought that that's going to happen. And so I also don't see it, but I very well could be dead wrong.
Yeah, no, I think I'm in your camp. So
good.
For years to come, we will be here to be selling. Obviously, we'll become more productive
exactly
with the AI tools, but we are here to stay. So good transition to the next part of our show. As we know, growth comes from many channels, right? Pipeline is built across multiple channels, and in this exercise, Kyle, you have 100 pennies, right? Each coin is worth 10 pennies, and you have multiple channels through which you're going to generate pipeline, right?
Yep.
How would you distribute these pennies across these channels with the mission, with a goal to generate the most optimal pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue?
I'm going to go customer first.
Okay.
I'll put 40 on customer.
Love it. I love your focus and very clear thought process as to where you're putting bulk of your pennies.
Yeah, and for us, it's even more than the company. For us, it's very persona driven. So we're a sales consulting organization. And so for us, if we engage with a sales or marketing leader, you know, marketing, if they own sales development, sales for everything. And so if we can engage with them at one company, average tenure of a CRO, VP of sales is maybe 2 years in SaaS. And so if I do a fantastic job and prove a massive amount of value for that individual, they're going to be a customer 6-7 times over the course of their career. So that is that's a significantly more efficient way for me to build our business than it is to continuously attract new people, new logos. I'll just follow somebody to every company they go to and they have trust in us and everyone.
It makes sense. This is great. Where else would you invest?
Second one is going to be marketing.
Okay.
And I'm going 40 there as well.
Wow. That's a lot of concentration on marketing. Let's just break it down for our audience. Where in marketing would you spend 40 cents?
Yep. It's going to be very small on paid, maybe 10.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's going to be 30 is going to be, and this is cheating a little bit, but 30 is going to be on content. Mm-hmm. And so content for us, the beauty of this is this ties into delivery, things that we're already getting paid for. So the more we invest in quality content that can be put in front of a potential customer. That's also content that can go into a current paying customer. Yeah. So it helps up-level our service delivery while also being something that can be repurposed and publicly distributed that drives leads. So we get to cheat a little bit by over-investing here because it works to service existing and to also attract net new. Sure. And so most of it's going to be content, 30 on content, 10 on paid.
Okay.
And then I'm going 20 on sales.
20 on sales.
Yep.
Perfect. And this is a standard BDR, AE-driven sales where they're generating pipeline, and pipeline's converting into revenue, right?
Absolutely. And so cold calling, more traditional, just reach out and try to engage with customers who align to our ICP. So B2B software companies, 10 million plus in revenue, who have some sales headcount today, ideally. Then if we reach out to those individuals, tell a compelling story about where they are and where we could help them go next, that always yields quality opportunities for us. It doesn't convert at the same rate that a customer or marketing will, obviously, but the goal is that if we can flip one of those and turn lifetime value of the individual into 5x that initial one, then the return is still there for us. So that's where I'm investing.
That's great. I love your focus. I love how clear you are about your investment. I would love to get your, you know, feedback, your opinion as to some of the newer channels that I'm hearing. You know, companies and GTM leaders are investing in community, in partnership, right? And in events, especially this year, more so than previous years. What's your take on those new channels?
On the events?
Yeah, events, community, partnership. I think those are the three that I'm hearing a lot, where people are experimenting, at least in this year.
Yes. I mean, what's old is new again. I think that they were amazing for a long time, and then COVID kind of killed them. And so if they're making a resurgence because people are hungry and excited about the ability to engage with their peers in large forums, that's great. For me, the events help with brand building, but there's not a direct tie to ROI. So ROI for us is way more centered around content than it would be presence at an event in terms of, yeah, just ROI on marketing spend. But for some of our clients, yeah, they do really, really well with events. And it's one of the primary channels because for them, for a lot of our clients, the event is an ability to access their ICP immediately or instantaneously. So let's say like you only sell to somebody who uses one specific ERP. Your product integrates with that ERP. If you're at that ERP's user conference, everyone who's in the room aligns to the ICP and you get to shortcut a lot of the legwork required if you're going to reach out to them cold. So it's an amazing opportunity for them to quickly engage with their target market. For us, I'm not saying we won't do it. We'll continue to do it. Just not somewhere we're going to invest heavily in.
Kyle, this was great. You know, thank you for providing your input as to how would you invest your dollars. Now let's take a look at this slide where you'll see how the community has decided to invest their 100 pennies, right? I'm going to overlay your data on top of this. The orange is where Kyle is investing and the blue is the community as a whole. When you look at this, is there something that jumps out to say, you know what, I didn't think this would be the case?
I figured it would be the case because even if I think about my strategies for myself or my strategies for my customers, we sell services, they sell products. So yeah. I think the differentiation in the customer-led growth comes down to that simple one. And same for sales-led. The issue for us, when you're trying to use sales-led growth, what we run into is that not that they don't exist, but it's really difficult to engage with a sales leader who potentially thinks of everything as their responsibility that we would potentially do. Yep. And potentially also, if they've never engaged with a consultant before, that can be a significant hurdle to get over. And if they maybe overextended in the position or oversold themselves for the position, it can be really difficult for them to say, hey, I actually need help from an outside firm when you told the board and the founders that you were going to do all of it. So I think that there's some added like personal or emotional complexity to our sales process, given the fact that we are a services firm who does a lot of what would fall under the responsibility of a CRO. So that's always something that we need to work through in every sales process.
It makes sense. The difference between the services companies and the product companies.
Exactly.
Kyle, thank you so much for joining. Really appreciate you coming and sharing your insights. I'm sure the community is going to get a lot of value from this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.